Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to be studying in chapter 11 of Revelation today. I feel all the time lately, just more and more and more, that Jesus Christ is going to come at any time. And this world, you know, if you just look around the United States and you see all the mess that we have, we just have so much stuff going on all the time. People that are rebelling against the principles of the Word of God and just all the stuff that goes on. I'm just looking forward to Jesus coming. And he said that he told his disciples, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So all of us better be thinking he's going to come soon, because that way we're preparing, we're getting ready, because we know that he's going to be coming for us. Hallelujah. And we're trusting. So in this 11th chapter now, we're moving on through the book of Revelation. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. This is now in the tribulation. I want to emphasize this. We've already studied in our text back in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, about the overcomers of this church age already being in heaven with the Lord. Chapter 5 said they spoke to the Lord. They said, you have redeemed us out of every kindred, nation, and tongue. So the bride is called the bride of Christ later. The great company of believers that will be in that group will be already at this point of time in the book of Revelation, where we're studying about the tribulation, which is the 7 years that God is going to deal with mankind. And so the overcomers are already with the Lord. And in chapter 7, we saw already that the innumerable company, a great company of believers who have had to go into a little bit of the tribulation time, about 150 days, they were there in the presence of the Lord. Later on, 144,000 Israelites that are redeemed, saved, and believe in Jesus will also be taken into heaven. But so this time that we're going to read about today is during that time of tribulation. And it tells us that these believers that we're going to talk about here, these men that God is going to use, they are going to be here quite a long while, about 1,260 days into the tribulation. They're going to be right after the first part of the tribulation, the translation of the overcomers going to heaven. Then here, these men of God are going to be there witnessing. Okay, so let's read verse 1. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, we want to remember that from last week in our chapter 10, we saw first verse, that there was a mighty angel come down from heaven. And we said that in the writing of our scripture that we all go by, the translators translated this word angel, which we think of as being, you know, an angel with wings and one of God's all. But the word actually has the meaning of messenger. And, of course, we believe in chapter 10 is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I believe that here in this chapter 11, according to the other people that believe this, that this person, this messenger that stood there saying, rise and measure the temple of God, that this is also the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is he saying the temple of God? I mean, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, and there's never been a temple since then. But what do we see today happening? Today, Israel has all of the utensils, all of the furniture, all made up for the temple that they are going to have. They have written out all kinds of blueprints. They are planning on building a temple. And some people believe that they will press until they get a portion of that Temple Mount area to put their temple on. Right now, the Mosque of Omar is on the temple. And so is another one of the synagogue things that is at the side there. I can't remember the exact name of it, but people go there and worship their doctrine, their teaching. The Muslims do. And they don't like it when Jews even come up on that area. But that place is where the temple sat in the Old Testament. And so many people believe that the Jews will try to build this temple on the same place. We don't know for sure. So we're not going to be here to see it anyway. Praise the Lord. Well, whether we are in the first or the second group that went up, we're not going to be here at this point in time. So let us read there. Was given him a reed likened to a rod, and the messenger that stood there saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship it therein." And why would God want to measure it? Doesn't he know the size of it, what it is? They try to make it, they're going to try to make it like it was of old. But what he's saying is that he is saying this is wrong. This is not going to stand. This thing, see, he's already brought salvation for mankind. He's brought salvation for the Jews. They don't need another temple, really. But in their minds, that is just the ultimate, you know. We're going to have a temple again. That's why they're going to so much trouble, even training people to be priests and looking for the red heifer that has no blemish because they butcher that animal, you know, and the blood is used and different stuff. So all of that that's going on, even in our day, and I think that this shows us how near we are the tribulation, how intense Israel is on getting this temple. And of course, here it is now in this verse representing the same temple that we see about today, wanting a temple. And it'll be during that tribulation time that this temple is finally, and it may be just before that time, that this temple is established. And he says there, go and measure them. So this little rod that John was given was like a measuring rod. And he was the one that was to go forth and measure. Now, why would God want him to measure things? Because all of this is against God. It's not of God. He's going to look at it. He's going to say, this is not of God. This is not of God. It's going to be all Israel's own thoughts about getting this temple going. And notice in verse 2, it says, and the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not before it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So they'll build a wall around, and they'll have this court for the Gentiles, but John, God tells him, don't even measure that, because it's not going to stand. In other words, the Gentile people are going to come in here, and they're going to tread down this temple and this place for 42 months. This is during the tribulation time. Okay, then in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now that's 1,260 days, or 42 months, during the tribulation time. These two men that God will assign for this job will witness. They are called the two witnesses. They're going to bring forth the word. They're going to be shouting to the rooftop. Of course, they'll be outside over there in Israel, but they'll be warning the people of the coming judgment. And they are going to be wonderfully outstanding, wonderful, good, outstanding men of God. They are prophesied in the book of Zechariah, and it mentions there these individuals, two witnesses, okay? It's interesting that we have the mention of the temple right here in this place, and it will be built again. There's no question of that. But I want us to turn to 2 Thessalonians, and I think most of you understand and have read and studied this, you know, probably before in your life. But look in 2 Thessalonians, back a few books, and we're going to go to chapter 2, and chapter 2, Apostle Paul talks about the Antichrist coming, and he talks about what will transpire. And so I want to read there in 2 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 3, and it says, in that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." Now, he's talking about after people are taken to heaven, the tribulation time will come. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 24, and it's a positive thing that's going to take place. But he says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So the man of sin that's going to be revealed is called the Antichrist. And he, you can find him in chapter 13, which we'll be coming up to, and other places. He is a man that is possessed of the devil, and he will be killed, it tells us in chapter 13, and tells us that he will be killed and will die, and then he will be raised again, and he will be the one that they will look to and follow. Many, many, many people in this earth will follow the Antichrist and take his mark in their hand or in their forehead, maybe both even. And so we see here, there's going to be a falling away. What does that mean? It doesn't mean Christians losing their salvation. It means that just as we're seeing around us all in this world, honestly, all the stuff this last week happening, these rioters and everything, the world is, they're are falling away. People are not as religious as they used to be. In the United States, there used to be great revivals. And all the things that have happened in the past that God dealt with people, he sent people to this nation. And we're not the only ones, it's the whole world. The world is just going berserk. And this is a sign to us that there'll be a falling away. And it says that, and that man of sin, notice what it calls this Antichrist. He's not a man of God. He's going to pretend he's got all power. He can do everything. Of course, Satan's going to empower him. But notice in verse 4, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, for or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So this temple that's going to be built, he's going to put his idol in the temple. And he's going to offer a pig on the altar. And he's going to, it says here, that he's going to exalt himself and sit in the temple of God, showing himself that, "Oh, I'm God now, you're going to have to follow me. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." Okay, what is holding back the power of the enemy from being manifest right now? Look at the world. It looks like it's going to happen any minute, doesn't it? But what is being held is that we're still in the church age. God is still giving people an opportunity to believe in Christ. Also, the bride of Christ is not ready yet. The first group of people that are going to go to heaven. That the Lord is still dealing in mercy and grace right now, even though the world is so wicked. And so he says, let's see, we want to go on down to verse 6, he knows, "and you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." Paul had taught them what was holding back the enemy's power. And look at, that's been over 2,000 years ago. All of this 2,000 years of this grace age that we live in, there have been much trouble, much evil, Christians killed, and many, many other things. And we look around the world today and we think it's bad, but it's been bad for a long time. Yes. Verse 7, "for the mystery of iniquity doth already work." The work of the devil, that's what it is, the mystery of iniquity. It may seem a mystery to some people. We understand what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to do anything to destroy the Christian. They're killing them overseas. They're letting Christians starve overseas. So, you know, we have it easy, don't we? Comparatively, we have it easy. In verse 8, let's read verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word letteth means hinder, to hinder. Who is hindering the devil just bringing the Antichrist right now? Who is hindering it?
We are.
Yes, we are. The overcomers in Christ. Those people who love the coming of Jesus are watching and waiting for him to come. And it's all in God's plan. He's going to come when it's time, not one time before. But we, by our faith and looking forward to the coming of Jesus, we're holding back the powers of the devil. And boy, are they great now. But boy, they're going to be worse in the tribulation. Verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now this wicked, of course, is, we could say, well, it's Satan, but also it's the Antichrist and the false prophet that will be here on the earth. And God will let them be here for a time, but there's going to be a time when he's going to destroy them. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Judgment is going to come upon the unbelievers of this world, the unbelievers. And he's going to give them opportunity all through this 7 years of tribulation to believe. But when Antichrist comes, he's going to say, you get my mark on your forehead or in your head, and you'll be able to get food. We'll help you out. You're going to be my followers now. And many people will do that, and they will suffer much. So go back to our chapter 11 in Revelation. And so the holy city is going to be trodden down for 42 months. Verse 3, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, there's a lot of dispute and comment about who the two witnesses are. Some people say that they're Elijah and Abraham or Moses or somebody from the Old Testament that are here. But those men have already died and gone to be with the Lord. And I do not believe that. And people that I've been taught from, you know, they don't believe that. These two are going to be men of God that are God uses in this respect. And they are very similar in ways to the prophets of old and the men of old that really sought after God. But let us notice verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So they are going to be here for a purpose. They're not going to be here to show off. They're going to be dressed in just simple, simple clothes, like sackcloth, which was always the cloth that people wore when they were in some kind of disaster or someone had died or something, you know, to show their grief. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And back there in Zechariah 4, verses 2 through 6 and verses 10 through 14, we read about these two witnesses. It's a prophecy of the two witnesses that will be here in the end time during the tribulation. Praise the Lord. And there are candlesticks. Notice that. Their light is shining. They're shining for the Lord. They're standing before the God of all the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. In other words, fire is going to come out of their mouth. They're going to be able to kill people. They are made supernatural in the Lord. We don't know exactly who they are, But we know that they are very, very, very powerful. And notice in verse 5, if any man, pardon me, verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And we've heard in previous chapters, we've studied some about how the weather is going to be bad and things are going to happen. But imagine that they can shut heaven down for 1,260 days. It's not going to rain. That doesn't mean just right here. It means all over the whole earth. There's going to be great disaster during that tribulation. In verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, having power over water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues and often as they will. So there'll be the water be just turned to blood like in the days of Moses. They shall overcome. They'll make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. They're going to kill these people, these two men. Isn't that something? God is going to allow that because he's going to show a fantastic and wonderful resurrection for them. And verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now this is in Jerusalem, but he's calling them Sodom and Egypt. And all of us, I think, are aware that Sodom was destroyed by God's fire, no doubt, atomic energy, it sounds like, completely burned down in the olden days and of Abraham's time, and also Egypt, which was against God and was punished by God, and there are a lot of ruins over there from what God has allowed. And so these dead bodies are going to lie in the street of that great city. The great city mentioned here is Jerusalem, which spiritually, at this point in time, the Antichrist is going to be so strong in this world and in Israel that they're going to be called Sodom and Gomorrah in Egypt. Isn't that amazing? It says where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They're not even going to provide a burial for these people. They're just going to let them rot in the street. Can you imagine that? How hateful and disgusting that is. And it's wicked, wicked. People who have given their hearts to the Antichrist and the all of the things going on. Praise the Lord. God is good. Verse 10, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Their torment is preaching the Lord to them. That's how bad people are going to become in the tribulation time. Now, we know there are going to be some Christians that are hiding out. We know there's people that are going to go clear through the tribulation on the earth. That'll be Christians. That'll be a lot of suffering for them, many of them killed. But praise the Lord, God is good and going to bring them through. And so going on, it says they'll rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Some people believe that about preachers, you know. The preacher just torments us, makes us feel guilty. Praise the Lord. That's why they say they don't go to church. And verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered in unto them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine? That's spooky, isn't it? It's really the Lord God. He's going to resurrect these men because they have been so faithful, and he wants the world to see it. They're without excuse. The world doesn't have any excuse at all. These men have preached the word and have taught them that they need to repent, and they will not do it. And so God is going to bring them forth. Hallelujah. In verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in spite of them seeing them go up, in spite of them seeing them resurrected, you think they're going to believe? The majority won't. The majority will say this is some kind of trickery, you know. Just, it's awful, isn't it? But what does God then allow? The same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So there's that remnant, the little portion of people that are trying to follow God, walking with God throughout this tribulation time, hiding out in the mountains. Some people think they're going to go to Petra, but that's such a common place. God is going to protect some of the Israeli people somewhere. And we know that if he just put his hand over them, they would be protected, right? And so this is what happened because of them killing. Of course, God's judgment is on them. But them killing the prophets of God that he sent to them to help them to know about God and everything. And they killed them. They didn't crucify them. They killed them, and they left them to die and just be there in decay in the ground. And so God brings a great judgment of a great earthquake upon them. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there. I have a lot more notes, but we're going to stop right there. And I want us to again think about how gracious the Lord God is to us, how that he has given us everything in Christ. Every one of us here have the privilege to walk with God in our lives right now and be ready for the coming of Jesus. And the coming of Jesus, I can't say it enough times, it's going to happen. Look at the United States right now. Look at the world right now. There is so much unbelief. There is so much disobedience. God is going to judge this world. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to help you to see more and more that life is short. And what time we've got right now is the time we need to dedicate our life to God and let him work in us and be faithful to him. And he will give us that power to do that. He's a loving God. He wants us to be ready for that first trumpet sound. We've all been taught that so much. Listen to the voice of the Lord and let him speak to our hearts. Get ready, get ready. I think that's what he's whispering. Be ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming any time. I've heard that all my life. He didn't come when I was a child. But I believe it more now than I ever have in my life, that he is coming right away.